Welcome to Attached, a platform for adding breadth and depth to everyday living. I'm Yaakov Danishevsky, and this is the Fresh Perspectives series, where I invite the rising stars of the mental health field to share their insights and observations. Welcome to another Fresh Perspectives episode, where I have the opportunity to have short conversations with professionals who have recently entered the field, or just entering the field, or who have already been working for a few years. Today with me, I have Chaya Smilowitz, who I'm very excited to speak with, who has been working in the field for a number of years already. Chaya is a licensed professional counselor at the Couch Method, a private practice in Chicago. She works with individuals from diverse backgrounds, including many from the firm community. She also has additional training in somatics and energy medicine to enhance her therapeutic approach. Thanks for making the time to speak with me.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is really exciting and completely new for me. So
awesome. Okay, so jumping right into it. So the question of what is something that with your fresh perspective, your new set of eyes that you see within either our community in particular or society at large that you think is a relevant and important challenge that we're facing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I thought a lot about it. and I asked people what they thought, and I think I have two categories. I have two categories, and I think they fit with each other. They sort of, you know, one leads to the other, I think, a little bit. But I think, like, as a theme, I would say that in the firm community, I see a lot of, just to put one word on the top of the category, I would say repression. There's a lot of compression and people feeling like they can't or they don't know how to express themselves authentically and sort of have their own voice. So yeah, that's one thing. Identity, shame, you know, things that fall under the category of like, this, as opposed to like, hi, I'm here. Yeah. And like in multiple different ways, you know? So that's one thing. And then the second category would be like family / connection / family yumminess / trauma. Cause I just have to say that word, even though I know it's a charged word, but like, yeah, trauma, there's a lot of trauma. Like we're at, you know, as a firm, you know, society as Jews, we've been through a lot. There's a lot to heal from individually and collectively. So yeah, I think working on those bonds, and, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday and I was like, they were like, yeah, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be all those big words, the big charged words that like abuse and neglect and dysfunction. And like, although those things are all there, like we should talk about them, I think. But smaller things that are just as potent, like small parent-child interactions, because the parents are the ones that run the family, you know, ways that parents can feel empowered to, first of all, heal themselves, and second of all, like, be more connected to their children in ways that are deeply validating and send messages to their children that they're safe and respected and seen and understood. And I think, I don't remember the quote, I don't remember exactly, but Dr. Bencion Soretzkin, I don't know if you've read his book, I absolutely love his book. Read his articles like many times.
I actually know he had a book. I've read his articles from a number of years ago. I've been a big fan for a long time.
Yeah.
But what's the book?
I mean, it's just a compilation of his articles.
Oh, it's a compilation of articles. Yeah. Oh, amazing. Okay. Yeah.
So I think in one of them, I mean, I don't remember exactly which one, and I'm probably going to quote it. I don't remember who it was. Chazanish, maybe. I don't know. I can go check in the book. But it says that there are some things that are more important than love. And I believe it was patience, respect, and understanding, maybe, between parent and child. So again, obviously define love, right? There's a whole conversation over there anyways. Like, what do you mean love? Love is everything. Right, it's true, it is. But what is it? What, you know, respecting your children, which includes recognition of boundaries. And like, that's a whole nother topic, right? Like, are very, very important for children to grow up. And I think that when we strengthen those family bonds, or if you're a single person like myself, you strengthen your internal family, you know, like you can be a parent, even if you don't have real kids yet, to yourself. And even when you are a parent, you can still be a parent to yourself, to strengthen those bonds, you know, to feel respected, to feel safe, to feel understood, to feel like there's something that can help you work, you know, that you have self. And then that self can go and express itself and feel part of society and feel unrepressed and unoppressed. So I guess that's how they feed off of each other.
That's incredibly powerful. The three things that are more important than love, the patience, respect, and understanding.
Yeah, I
think that's really, really powerful.
Yeah, I gotta go double check, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess in a sense, because love is a feeling, and so parents can naturally feel the feeling of love towards their children and can feel that they're loving their children, but have all their own issues playing themselves out somehow and are not acting with patience, respect, and understanding, even though they might be feeling love. And so that feeling is really not enough if it doesn't have manifestation in those three ways. That's really, really powerful.
Yeah, like I think I'd say maybe any parent would take a bullet for their kid. Like probably like 99.9% of parents would literally do so much because they love their child. That doesn't mean that child's going to grow up and necessarily be like an emotionally healthy person. There's a lot more that it takes.
And then I guess the last thing you were saying is that connects to the first piece you said, which I think is really, really well said, very poignant, is the repression that exists as the thing that you're really naming as the phenomenon that you see as a challenge, or something that we need to work on, is the amount of repression that exists and the lack of natural, authentic expression of self.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that you would suggest that a person can try and work towards that goal?
Yeah, this is all the things. That's my answer, all the things. And find your thing, find my thing. I mean, I have a lot of my things, right? But heal. I mean, go for a walk, journal, go for a swim, hug a tree. I mean, do what you love. Like, I think, look inside and find what is going on inside of you and hear that and work with it and be you. And be you.
Yeah.
I would say, like, don't give me fake, give me real. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible that some of that can be a distinction or a subtlety between expression in, like, let's say someone's feelings, thoughts, opinions, their voice, versus expression in the sense of actions or changes in societal structures or lifestyle choices. Not that I'm against there being changes in societal structures or lifestyle choices in any kind of black and white way. I think there's room for that too. But I wonder if part of the repression is because people feel that, I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'm wondering if part of the repression is because people feel that within, let's say, our Orthodox community, that there are certain things that let's say this is true, that there are certain things that can't change. Now, maybe that's true, maybe that isn't true. What things does that apply to? Might be more narrow than people think, might be wider than people think. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But let's just say that people have the perception that certain things can't change. Mm-hmm. And they therefore assume, or they conflate, that since it can't change in the communal structure or even in my individual life, that therefore I can't express my feelings, thoughts, or opinions about it because it can't change. And maybe part of what needs to shift is we can divide those two things. People can express themselves authentically. That doesn't mean that everything in the world around them needs to change, because having an authentic self and expression of self is not the same thing as having a bigger ego or making everything self-absorbed, or everything has to revolve around me. There might be reasons outside of me why things can't change, but I can still express who I am and what I feel or think.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess I'm hearing, yeah, or I'm thinking of like opinions, right? So just because I have an opinion, let's say, and maybe somebody isn't running their school or something, right? According to the opinion that I have, it doesn't mean, first of all, it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm being judgmental of anyone at that school. That's number one. Right. And that's a good distinction. I think that's really important to make. Like, I'm not the principal. I completely respect the tremendous amount of responsibility that that principal has taken upon themselves. Like, you know, so number one, it doesn't mean I'm being, you know, disrespectful or judgmental of somebody, but it also doesn't mean that I have to squash, right, my opinion.
Right.
And not voice it and say, no, actually, I think differently. I think that maybe it would be a really nice way to run a school in this way. And like, that doesn't mean that like I could be wrong. Like, again, I'm not in a position of power. Right. I don't know all the ins and outs of that.
Myself. Yeah.
Right. But this is a thought I have, you know, like, yeah. Even coming on this, I was like, oh my goodness, my own thoughts, everyone else's thoughts. I'm like, am I listening to my own advice? Right? Like, this is supposed to be my voice. And here I am. Like, I asked everyone in my life, I'm like, what do you think? What do you guys think? What do you think? And I'm like, oh my goodness, now I'm not going to say that person's thing. And then I'm going to say their thing. And I'm like, let it go. And then just, yeah, whatever I say. But yeah,
that's like, great.
I can have an opinion. We can all have opinions.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So transitioning to the second half of the conversation, which time-wise will be shorter than the first, yeah. But the second part, which is focusing on something that you see from your perspective as a strength within the community, psychologically speaking,
yeah,
something that we're doing well and how we can try and further strengthen that.
Yeah. So I think that it's interesting. Like, I think we're doing the thing that we need. Like, I think that there is a huge, I think, movement towards authenticity. I think there is a big movement towards expressing and being open and being real and being honest. And I mean, I know that I'm very like clouded. I'm in my little bubble of an amazing practice with amazing therapists who do amazing work. So I see a lot of growth in terms of people being open to come to therapy, to try new things. It doesn't have to be therapy. It could be anything that you think is healing or potentially helpful in some way. I think that there's been an openness, you know, like, I don't think, you know, this is what my rabbi told me a while ago. Like, he was like, 20 years ago, you were not having like the amount of people in, you know, in let's say the really yeshiva world open to having, I mean, right now there's like all the yeshiva schools are having meetings with this therapist and three social workers and the OT and the this and that, like there's an openness to just getting help and to receiving, you know, to learning how to heal, how to feel better. So I think there's an openness. There's an openness to try new things. And there are opportunities for that. Like, I think there are opportunities to learn. There are podcasts. There are, you know, speeches. There are things that are going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how can we continue to strengthen that? What do you think?
I mean, I guess keep doing what we're doing and feel empowered, like each person to feel, you know, like you're here for a reason, and whatever, wherever you are in your journey and whatever that looks like, it's good. It's like part of this generation. This generation has a lot of power. Like, we have a lot of new, I think, ideas about saying, like, we're not just going to do the things maybe that we always used to do. Like, let's just do it. No, like, tell me why. I want to know why. I don't understand this. This is something I struggle with, and I'm going to keep asking the question until maybe I find an answer or maybe I don't, but the question itself is valid. Like, so again, wherever you are on your journey, it was in Judaism, in spirituality, and in your own psychological healing, be empowered that, like, you have a place and feel good about it and know that, like, you're important. Each person's important.
Really love it. Thank you. Amazing. Thank you so much. Really, really insightful and meaningful.
Yeah. Thank you. Good luck on the rest of all of your endeavors in this new podcast. And yeah, I really appreciate being here. So thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
So much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please follow us on WhatsApp, YouTube, or Instagram. All our podcast series can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love to hear from you, so please reach out with questions, comments, or suggestions, or to be added to our WhatsApp groups. You can reach us through email using yakov.attached@gmail.com or on WhatsApp at 773-888-2413.